Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays. You're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like? Because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora. He's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison, and joined today by my co-host, Chris Epps. What up, bro?
What's up, man? How you feeling?
And then there were two. We're without Mike. Without Mike and Mike right now. Maybe permanently without one of the mics. Right now, man, I'm not feeling great. You know, got COVID. It's my second podcast recording this week with COVID. Feeling a little better. My stomach is feeling janky right now. Just had some food I probably shouldn't have eaten, but just trying to get some in the system. Drinking juice from Erewhon.
Well, you know, at least you had a good birthday, right?
Yeah, I had a great birthday. Acted an ass, then went to Vegas, won some money, then bought some Bitcoin. Boomer coin. Bought the one true stable coin.
That's for sure. That what's that now? 30,000?
30,000. Where else would it be?
I guess I've actually looked at the price.
You don't need to look at the price.
I know. It's actually good. That's what it's supposed to do, right? That's kind of what we want. We want digital gold.
Yeah. It doesn't
It's not dumping. And no. That's what we also want.
Exactly. So I feel good. Like, I feel like Bitcoin is kind of the best stable coin with the opportunity for upswing, you know, which is like a great thing in terms of investing. Like, I put most of my funds in there right now. I'm about to buy a car. I'm about to get a Prius, having it shipped out here right now from Fresno. And I'm just like hoping like within the next week, like, oh, if Bitcoin goes to 32, like
I'll have. How many Ethereum was that Prius? Right now it's like, right. Right now it's like 10.
Yeah, it's a little more than 10. And I would say it's probably like 14.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was funny, man, because I just, you know, I've been wanting to get back to 0.1 Bitcoin for so long, and just a few bets took me there, you know, when for a while it was like tough trying to get to $6,000 and say holding $6,000, but you know, saving three.
Yeah, not having to use it.
Yeah, saving
three. Or finding something to play with.
Yeah, so, you know, So, you know, it's been good for me in terms of like birthdays are a good point for me to be able to save money and reflect and try to like build on to the next level of what I'm doing. This is the first time I've actually bought a new car in my life.
That's big.
Yeah.
That's big.
So yeah, man, I'm proud. You know, I got square with everybody. Don't owe anybody money. All my gambling debts paid off. And
you get to keep your kneecaps for another year.
Yeah. Not everything worked out. You know,
what did you win on?
Well, I won on basketball. I won on roulette. We went to Vegas. The first night, when I first got there. We went to Javier's at the Aria, me and my girl. And then while we were just sitting there waiting, I went to the roulette table. I won like 800 real quick, you know what I'm saying? Like 10 minutes. And then from there, we went to Caesars later that night. My friends and my family came in. And then, you know, it was funny because they were like all wanting to hang out with me. And then I was just there at the table. And so I was there at the roulette table in Caesars for like 30 minutes. And I won like almost $2,000. And they ended up playing all of it back the next day, which was crazy. Like, and then Sunday, I ended up winning most of it back. So it was like, I was, as it goes with gambling and trading and everything else, you're up one day, then the next day you're down. And I'm like, mad at my girl. Like, I'm not mad at her. I'm not mad at her, but like expressing my frustration to her, like damn, I lost all my money. She was like, you lost all your money? And I'm like, not all of it. Like, it wasn't, don't gamble the rent, people.
But it feels like it.
Yeah, but it was like, I lost my winnings, you know? And then we went to see Silk Sonic on Saturday. And then on Sunday, when the Celtics played game 7 against Miami, I had the Celtics. And me and my cousin were watching the game. And then he bet I had him bet the under second half. And he hit it. So, you know. It was a good weekend. And then, so, you know, I took that, got some more Bitcoin and some Ethereum. And, so, you know, I got COVID a few days later after my...
You got some COVID. You accumulated many things in Vegas, many people do.
Yeah, so, you know, like, to sum it all up, it was just funny. I was having a reflective day, you know, after I kind of made that purchase for the car. Like, I wanted to lose a certain amount of weight and I lost it. And I wanted to have enough money saved to get the car, and I did. And it was because of COVID, because I didn't have to go to work and you know, spend on the Uber and lunches and all that stuff that I normally would do this week. So, you know, COVID was, I won't say a blessing because it almost killed me Saturday night, but everything worked out, you know, in God's timing. And so I'm just thankful that I'm here today and, you know, able to have a moment to reflect and be, you know, grateful for everything that's happened, you know, up until this point. So, man, let's talk about
that. Shit is scary. Having it is scary. Like when you that one or two, those two nights, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, nah, bro, it's scary as fuck. And that's, you know, how they say that it gets darkest before the dawn. And it was like, you know, on my birthday, I was like wilding out, saying crazy shit to Mike and doing crazy, you know, just shit, like just shit in general, just being drunk. And then from that, from that point,
what were you doing?
I was just talking shit, man. Like, you know, you know when you get drunk, and especially if it's your birthday, you just like,
especially on your birthday. Yeah, the birthday week, you know, gusto is up.
Yeah, so you just you like, you know, Diddy in the Hate Me Now video, you spitting Chris in the camera, like it's just, that's just how you feel, you know. And it was just like a place too where also not a lot of people came through for, you know, I invited a bunch of people to Delilah, and, you know, Mike and Trey were the only ones that came. So it's like, when you have more energy and more friends there, then it'll kind of like temper your temper. But, you know, there wasn't a lot of different people there. So because of the lack of energy, I had to provide the spark myself, and I was doing it all. So, regardless of that, man, you know, we're here to talk about the crypto market and what's been going on. And
another COVID. It caught COVID with you.
Yeah, it did.
All
the markets caught COVID, because that's the whole thing that, you know, and that's, I guess, why I'm elaborating on myself and where I've been in all of this, because it's kind of a microcosm of how everything's been going. I'm not the only person who's caught COVID. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people are catching COVID again. COVID did not go away, even though we're pretending like it's over. And of course, that's going to have huge effects on the market, because, you know, this time we're not getting no bailouts. We're not getting no PPEs. We're not getting no stimulus. We're not getting so the economy is now facing the downside of COVID, where the virus is still affecting people worldwide. Mm-hmm. You know, they're talking about the zero COVID policy in China and how they're having to deal with that as well. And in addition to, you know, all of the markets still trying to recover from the last 2.5 years. So, you know, it's interesting, because today we had a bad day in the stock market. I think the Dow dropped about 650 points. But like I was saying before we got on, Bitcoin is kind of like the only true stable coin, you know, and as much as we wanted the markets to uncork and the crypto market not to be super tied to the stock market, I think in some ways it is happening because Bitcoin didn't have that huge fall off like the stock market did.
No, it didn't. I think that was the whole, I mean, this is the perfect example. There's a guy in my parking lot who's, some reason I brought up crypto to him. I shouldn't have done it, old gentleman. And since then, he's been trying to, you know, give me to help him. And I finally talked to him actually like 2 hours ago when I was parking. And he asked me about what to do with his Shiba and Cardano and all this stuff. And I went into the, the black hole mode of explaining to him why all these coins are now proven to me to be like useless and nothing is really safe to put your money in or safe haven, or Bitcoin is safer than gold at this point, it feels like.
Yeah.
Like I think gold has been tanking also, right? Or I mean, tanking for a gold standard in general.
Yeah. I mean, I think pretty much anything that's listed on the stock exchange has had downturn.
It's fallen. So it's this bear market, because I guess it is a bear market, it's confirmed, or people keep calling it that, and after a month of me denying it, I didn't feel like it was, I guess, or months of me denying it, I guess it is, it's the perfect time to realize like what, where you should put your money. And it, I come to terms with all that, all those coins I liked, all that stuff we were talking about, a lot of the DeFi stuff, a lot of it is useless. A lot of it, I would say, in the like early in the past, I would say, yeah, it's not going to work anyways. But right now, you can see, shit, the only thing that is worth putting your money in is Bitcoin. Still, like,
yeah.
And if there was a PPP, it would be even worse at this point, I think, now.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, one of the things for us is that we got caught up in the swell of retail, you know, where everybody was hyped off before we even got to the meme coins. You know, we had the Litecoin, which I think got delisted off an exchange recently.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that. I have to show you. But, you know, from Cardano, Solana, you know, all the other coins that weren't even in the meme category, all the altcoins. And it was funny because, you know, even talking to Jamal and, you know, people who were in the 2017 boom, who saw all the ICOs do what's happening to the altcoins now, kind of were apprehensive at first, you know, and knew like, hey, maybe this might not work out. But then everybody started getting in because the returns were so crazy and, you know, alt season and all that happened. And then we got the meme coins and it was like, we start, you know, people are looking at us like, you guys are idiots because you're stuck on these boomer coins. You're stuck on Bitcoin, Ethereum, you know, whatever. And, but everything played out how it's supposed to, you know, all of these altcoins are down 90% plus. I mean, shit, even Binance is being investigated right now.
I was just about to say, I was just looking at that on the side of my note. Like, yeah, the BNB coin is getting investigated or getting,
So I mean,
SEC.
So what, I mean, I saw some things where some guys were doing what looked like some sort of Ponzi scheme or scam with, you know, the BNB coin. I didn't look too much into it, but I knew a few people who were getting into that in a different way than just buying the coin. Do you think that that is connected to this investigation? Do you know what the investigation is about?
I mean, it's probably just another, you know, I mean, is this on a, you mean like you read a thing about some big corporate guys or some big?
No.
You knew some people.
Yeah, I knew some people.
Oh yeah, no. So it's probably, that was probably just a protocol or, you know, a farm or a little coin that people were all aping into.
Yeah,
to make money, and it was a Ponzi or, you know, kind of like an MLM.
Yeah.
But this is about the BNB token, which is like the token that powers Binance's own chain, Binance Smart Chain. It's like the Ethereum token, the Ether token to Ethereum.
Mm-hmm.
This is about them, Binance using that as a way to, I think, you know, launder money, make money. Do things that they shouldn't be doing as a exchange as a cryptocurrency market.
Yeah.
And that's pretty bad for that chain in general. But, you know, and there's a meme about that chain having only 12 validators or 12 computers controlling the whole thing. Like it's in the owner CZ's basement. It's in the founder wow. of BNB. Like he runs the chain in his basement.
Oh, wow. Nodes.
So I'm like, when I read that, I'm not surprised. Literally, that was a place where scammers went and people went to go throw in $100 and hopefully make $10,000 or whatever and sell it all and dump it on a $100,000 market cap token.
Right.
Like it's a scam city. And so this coming out, you know, maybe half of those developers were Binance people. I'd thought about that just now. Like, who knows where these, all these projects, there was nonstop coins, all the Shiba crap, most of that stuff. Like Shiba's on Ethereum, but Shiba inspired basically all the scams on Binance also, or right. Binance Smart Chain. I don't, you know, there's some evidence of some somewhere if they're investigating them. I don't know what it is. I wouldn't be surprised. Tron has been kind of like proven to be a slush fund for the owner or the creator, Justin Sun. Mm-hmm. His little slush fund is Tron, which is basically a copy of Binance Smart Chain, which is a copy of Ethereum. Mm-hmm. So there's all these, you know, Ethereum killers in general are all going to end up getting in trouble, or all these protocols like Luna. Holy shit, that Luna shit is, keeps getting better and better.
Right.
We're going to get in trouble for.
So what's, yeah, so let's get updated on that. So Luna, Terra Luna, Doquan's protocol, he's coming back, right? He's coming back for more. He's,
no, he tried. He did a airdrop maybe a week or two ago, Luna 2, to try to get everyone back.
Uh-huh.
And he was out here tweeting and making Instagram stories, helping people try to get their airdrop because it was a fucking failure when it launched.
Yeah.
People weren't getting there's a bunch of, you know, technical issues. He basically tried to restart the same chain. And to get everyone whole, you got to do what? You got to sell the token to get your money back that you lost. So, you know, they try to Ponzi it up and tell people to stake it.
Yeah.
And they'll be made whole. And literally people were made probably a tenth of what they lost, a percent, 1% of what they lost. I saw a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like on the airdrop, it was like worth nothing. It didn't work. It went straight to shit. And then some shit came out today. Like, he had gone private. He finally stopped talking. Like, he's a fucking idiot. Like, the way he talks, I would never have this guy, like, invest my money with this guy with anything. It's kind of ridiculous. He, I guess, came out of hiding and was trying to defend himself again today.
So, yeah. I don't
know what he's even talking about. He's basically just saying that there's a bunch of fake news about him and, I don't know. There's been proven. There's like some proof that he, you know, was selling. They were selling shit when the crash was happening and selling shit, like, you know, it's all insider weird sus trading. Not surprised. 1000% not surprised.
Yeah, man. I feel like it's hard to find anybody, I guess, in this space that has a reliability factor or can be trusted. You know, there's no. The space is not built with the same integrity that, you know, the computer space or the internet space even was built on. There's no Steve Jobs or, you know.
Well, there's not supposed to be a person. That's
Bill Gates. Problem. Yeah, but I mean, I think all systems in our world, in our universe are, you know, intrinsically built off people or around the support of people, you know. I think Bitcoin is obviously, you know, alone in that fact that it is not, but most of the time, you know, everything else is. And that's not to say everybody is whack, you know, like from what I see, I won't say I'm fans of these people, but I have at least a amount of respect, I guess I should say, so far from what I know of, like Vitalik or Sam Bankman-Fried. I would say those two people in particular are the ones that I would kind of look towards as thought leaders and people who seem to have a good heart behind what they're trying to do.
Good intentions. Yeah,
good intentions about what they're trying to do. But with the billions and billions of dollars and the $1 trillion industry that they're behind.
Yeah, and supporting the president, helping put a president in office.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's a difficult, space for anybody to be in, something that's so new and it constantly evolving. But it's also interesting because, when I got those winnings, I went back to look at OpenSea because I've been eyeing, the Invisible Friends. And when I finally could afford an Invisible Friend, I didn't want to buy it anymore.
Of course, now you don't want to buy it. Yeah. When you should be buying it literally right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I should be. I definitely need a car more than I need an Invisible Friend.
Yeah.
But
actually, Invisible Friends, I wouldn't buy this. So there's a bunch of other things I would buy that are worth the same amount now.
Right. And I mean, it's interesting, when we started this podcast, there were probably a 7 ETH floor when ETH was, $3,500. And now it's, I think it was 3.19 the last time I looked last week. It might be lower now, with for $1,800 ETH. So it was, something going from $20,000 to 6 is a hell of a discount. But even, Azuki, Beans, the whole NFT market is, would you say it's crashing?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bear market in general. Right now, the meta or the trend right now is free minting. It's,
oh, wow.
Like, motherfuckers are actually just making art now, see?
Yeah.
Now the building begins.
Yeah, yeah.
Now there's not some fucking guy on Fairfax telling you to go buy some shit, or some kid on fucking TikTok telling you to go buy some shit because it's worth 5 to 10 ETH.
Yeah.
Because it's booming. Like, it's just a bunch of artists making stuff. Right now, the biggest thing are free mints with a narrative or like role playing. Mm-hmm. And motherfuckers are on Twitter in Twitter spaces role playing, following a Twitter. Like,
yeah.
No Discord, no roadmap. No roadmap.
See, Discord. And that's the funny thing, bro, is that, me and Mike, we're on here having that conversation, and we've had multiple conversations, and I've been pushing back against this whole roadmap, utility, all of that shit, and niggas is like, well, why would somebody buy it, why would somebody do this? And it's like, I don't think people care about the utility. Like, it was just some bullshit in the first place to distract you, like, just to make people feel like they were getting their money's worth. Like, but nobody actually wants utility out of an NFT. Like, people want art, and they want, if it's a ticket to something, then it's cool. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If it's an add-on to something that they're already doing, then it's cool. But like, other than that, like, selling a picture with access to parties and all that other shit is like, that's not a sustainable model, and it's not something that people really care about,
Yeah. So, only when everyone's making money would you want to go do that, because
exactly
that's like when there's a bear market, why would you want to go party with everyone who's all down bad?
Exactly. And that's the
whole thing.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing too, why I had to make sure like that we did this episode, because I feel like that's part of, and I don't know what, I can't speak to Mike and Mike's activities or what they're doing, but I'll just speak for myself in that, like, people look towards people who have crypto entertainment in these markets to see if they're still around. And it's like, when you disappear at this time, no matter what's going on, it starts to look weird. And of course, you don't live for other people and what they think about you, and I don't, but it's really more about what I think about myself. And I don't want to be a person who disappears in a time of a down market, because that I'm not here, only because the market's up. That's not how I operate, and that's not why we're doing this, yeah. I think the market's even more interesting now.
Yeah, same.
Because there's more shit going on. It's more things to talk about.
I am less stressed than I was a year ago when I was up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dude, this last 2 months were like the the brokest, least stressful months of my life. It was great. I feel like I've been writing down intentions and fucking working out and touching grass. That's the meme.
Yeah.
That was, of course, the meme of the month in May, last month. May, yeah. Touching grass, yeah. And I did a lot of that shit. You know, trying to help with our boy projects.
Hold on, I'm going to turn this light on.
Trying to figure out, you know, some stuff. Uh-huh. But there's a lot of... there's a lot more things, like, you know, you can do instead of watching this stuff. It was one thing I learned months back. I learned that a year ago, but I didn't take it to heart until maybe a few months ago. And sitting back and watching, like, the Luna shit, or watching all this stuff happen and watching the market get scared and watching people, you know, kind of quiet down a bit, is interesting, because I started and no one was in it. So I feel like we're back at the right at the perfect spot, right where I was when I found it and no one was listening.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, Noodle. Hey, boy. How you doing? And Noodle's just like, whatever.
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans, like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
And that's the beauty of being dedicated to whatever your hobby, your discipline, your craft, your thing is that the people who aren't really into it like that or aren't really in love with it like that are eventually going to wash away. And those people more than likely are not going to be the ones that see the fruits from it either. You know, So like you being down through the market cycles, like you're going to be able to see the come up in 2024 or, you know, 2023 or whenever the next super boom is, because you're going to have been accumulating, you know, like, I think, I don't know if you're the one who sent me that video about Peter McCormick before he shut, he was the catalyst that fucking started World War III.
No, that might've been Mike.
Oh, okay. But do you know the video I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. Did you know about him? Did you know about him before the Elon thing?
It sounds familiar.
Okay. Well, yeah, if you guys are listening, you should look up this video of this guy, Peter McCormick. He's a British Bitcoiner, and he's the one who incited Elon to basically, what did he say to Elon?
I have no idea.
Because he was the one who responded to Elon on Twitter, and then Elon said that he wasn't going to let people buy Teslas with Bitcoin anymore because Bitcoin wasn't green, and it started tanking the market. But I forgot their exact interaction. But before that, I had heard about Peter from this video that I saw. And so basically, he was saying that he had started buying coins in like 2012 or 2013 or something like that. And then, you know, he didn't really know what he was doing. He ended up making like $1 million trading coins. And then he ended up blowing all the money and learning from that and having to restack and kind of rebuild and, you know, kind of just rebuilt his whole life after, you know, going through one market cycle. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, now being in this market cycle, you know, he has a much better understanding of how everything works and where he is and, you know, how to deal with the swings of the market. And I think that's kind of where we may be, you know, hopefully, you know, we learned our lessons over the past, you know, 12, 16 months that we've been doing this. I just hope that we can, you know, reap the benefits of all of this stuff because we've learned a lot of hard lessons. We've been through, I mean, you know, hundreds of thousands at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have.
And so, you know, I'm fortunate that we are both still here, you know, with computers and internet and, you know, like shirts on our backs and, you know, food in our bellies. Knowing, you know, what has happened. And obviously we wish that we were on the other end and could have completely benefited from our actions at this point and been up $1 million, you know, and I'm sure shit, man, we were one trade away, you know, one mouse click away.
Sure. Yeah. That's exactly why we are. Where we are one more trade.
Yeah. So
one trade away.
So that's the whole thing.
Every trade matters.
Every trade matters. And that's the thing.
All trades matter.
Because I'm looking at it right now, bro. Like, even now, as we're saying that, you know, Bitcoin's been a stable coin at 30,000. You know, last year, one of the biggest moments for me that just upset my soul, dude. Like, and it happened to me a couple of times, but it was specifically this one time, late July, when Bitcoin went from 32, I think it was July 19th, maybe to July 21st, somewhere around there. Bitcoin went from 32,000 to 38,000 in like, I don't know, 4 hours, 8 hours, some shit. Then it went from 38 to 44 in the next like week and a half. And basically it went from 32,000 to like 49 without really dipping at all.
I remember.
And I had just closed my long like a few hours before, and I didn't know when to get back in. Like if I would have got back in any point in that day and just let it ride, like I would have had 20, 30 grand at least, you know, of course. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you can always predict, you know, oh, I would have made it 50. I would have made it 100, you know? So yeah. you can always go back and look at trades and look at situations. So I'm saying that now with Bitcoin sitting at 30,000, kind of in a similar way that it did last year, where it was just kind of holding there and hugging it. You know, it was a little bit more volatile last year. It wasn't as tethered to this 30,000 number as it is right now. And Ethereum, you know, had a similar jump at the same time, which you would have probably got a, you know, bigger return from on your trade if you would have jumped into that. But what is your thought? Do you think we're going to have a similar jump this summer at some point? Or what do you think is happening with the market? Do you think we're going to go full bear and we're just going to hold 30,000 until the stock market fully crashes? I mean, where do you see us going?
I don't know. For me, it feels like we're going to just kind of, you know, when I think about it, it would be crab along weird, you know, for another month and then pop up. So maybe the same thing happens. I don't think it'll, you know, of course it's not going to be the exact same, although, you know, the May stuff happened almost.
May was the exact same. So that's the crazy. Exact same. I mean, this
is something different.
It's very much like a pre-programmed algorithm. It feels like
it is, and part of it is because we know what happened last year.
Yeah. So
you know, like we all create our own future.
Yep.
And that's the amazing thing about technical analysis is like, yeah, the lines of the charts are going to do this, so I'm going to do this, and that's what everyone else does, except for the one whale.
Yeah.
That runs the opposite way. His zags. Yeah. I don't know. I can see it. I can see it doing it again.
It's
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it doing it again, especially because everyone's getting all depressed and people aren't posting about crypto no more on the normie social media.
Yeah.
Everyone's been scammed enough. Yep. You know, when it gets quiet, it's the best time.
Yeah.
But I do think it'll be. It'll be like, it's going to be less jump. If it happens in July or whatever, it's not going to be as crazy. I don't know. Hard to tell.
Yeah.
It could do the exact same shit. You know, this is a whole, at this point now, I'm not even looking at the prices. I'll just use everyone else's reaction.
Yeah.
So I can, like, oh, it's bearish. Okay.
So what do you think about the brand new meme, the hot meme that's hitting the streets?
I hate that shit, dude. I hate that meme. It's so stupid. I can't. I fucking hate it. I hate that meme, dude. I really do.
If you guys don't know, we're talking about the bussin'
ramen head.
Yeah.
Ramen noodle.
What's the line? Fed. Yeah. What? Give me the line on the Warren Buffett.
I don't know. I know that there's a no kizzy. Bussing and you know blank insert blank for real so you know what's her name, they had the SEC lady
Janet,
up there.
They got a Janet Yellen one.
Yeah, they had a Yellen one. It's like, no, nah, this inflation, no kitty, this inflation is really busting for real. I think Mike sent this one. Mike's been posting them on his fucking stories. I was like,
there's one where what do you call it? A noodle head? Where Warren Buffett has a noodle head, like Jew Fro, popular Gen Z haircut. And
Celeb boy fade, fuckboy haircut.
And the quote is, it's far better to buy a bussing company at a sus price than a sus company at a bussing price, for real.
That's actually a good one. All right, that's a better one. That's the best one yet.
Yeah, that's a good meme, man. I thought it was pretty funny.
I fucking hate that shit. I hate that one, bro.
Yeah.
No, I think it's just solid. Because I'm a boomer now.
Yeah, that's what it is. You're old. You've aged up.
I like most of the memes. I like most of them. I like most of these new memes, but
yeah. I wonder if there's a crypto memes page. There has to be, like Instagram, like a popular Instagram page.
Oh, yeah, there is for sure. I mean, most of the crypto pages on Instagram just post memes, it feels like, anyways.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like what they do. Especially right now, and you know, it's the bear market.
Right.
That's all there is that you can do. That's all you can do, post memes.
Right. And I so I saw you post something, and I was going to address it because I saw it that earlier that day you posted like a joke tweet in reference to the thread that somebody posted about the Telegram messages. So there was somebody on Twitter who I don't know, it was like some unknown user or whatever that posted basically trying to out people on Telegram.
So there was like a, yeah, there was a, some guy who had some followers, not much, but no one knew who the account was. And he said he's an alternate alt account from popular crypto Twitter account. And he has some leak information about some of the people in the crypto Twitter space were popular who are actually like moles who are getting in to circles to figure out stuff, like to, I guess, report on and slash expose people. And there's apparently like weird trading stuff going on with these groups, you know, people basically abusing their power, and they're going to get exposed. And then this guy was supposed to expose the exposer.
Yeah.
Whistleblowing
on the whistleblowers.
Yeah, they're, you know, blowing each other's whistles, but it, yeah, it ain't, it, nothing came of it. It was a meme. I think everyone knew it was a meme when we saw the tweet.
Yeah.
I mean, some people thought it was real.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a fucking, I thought it was real for a second, and I was like, is this real?
Yeah.
And then it happened again, and it happened like,
well, when he posted the link, like, I just know not to click on links.
Oh, yeah.
From crypto people.
Yeah. And so he, oh, this is the more recent one. Oh, there's one that happened maybe, oh yeah, right before you went on, right before a little hiatus that happened. And then the Telegram guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all that. And there's a link at the very top. And I was like, this is.
Yeah. If you know anything about crypto, you don't click on a link.
Don't click on a link from someone that you don't know. And then if it's someone that you know.
Yeah. Even then, ask them.
Yeah, I don't send links I haven't clicked on in my chat, so you can always rely on that.
Yeah.
So if I'm getting hacked, you're getting hacked too. So just know that.
Right. Speaking of clicking on links, go to thepapernft.com. I actually dropped the NFT on my birthday. I never really got to talk about that. This is my second NFT. And basically, this was the second video I ever did for the group Pack Div. I dropped it right now. It's for sale for 0.8 Ethereum. If y'all are interested, go and purchase that. It's basically what I want to do is create a digital version of my videos. You know, I want to make a collection of digital art, of things that's meaningful to me, and things that I want to be on the blockchain forever, things that I want to live forever. You know, and I feel like it being on hard drives, on YouTube, or, you know, what have you, like in 100 years, 200 years, whatever the case may be, you know, hopefully this blockchain technology is still around and the work that I created, you know, over my life can be accessed digitally by people, you know, forever.
You need to put that sale link in your bio, sir. I'm on your Twitter. It's not even in my bio. I'm not a Twitter person.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait, did I make
put the NFT, the link to the NFT or wherever it's at?
I'm going to put it in there right now.
In your bio. So then, you know, when we show your Twitter.
Exactly.
And then everyone can see it.
Yeah, I'm going to put it in there right now.
You know, that's how you get in the bear market.
Nah, exactly. You ain't never lied, brother. You ain't never lied. But yeah, so that's, you know.
How was that experience minting? It was cheap. It was cheaper too, right? It's cheaper in the bear market to create.
Yeah, no, I mean it was free. I didn't have to do anything. I minted it on OpenSea. I thought,
oh right,
because on Foundation where I minted my first NFT, you have to they charge you a minting fee and a listing fee. On OpenSea, they didn't charge me, and yeah, it was pretty easy. I actually ended up making two copies, because the first one didn't go into the collection that I made. So I had to end up deleting the first one. But yeah, so the video is a video that I made with the group Pack Div. I think it was their second video or their third video ever. My second video ever after doing Dom Kennedy's Who Rollin' With Me video. I was in college at LMU. my cinematography professor. He was a cinematographer. Dom's in the video. Mike Rissé, who's normally on the pie, he's in the video. Swift D, Sean G, a bunch of people. The homegirl Candace, the homegirl Jess. Yeah, and it was just a dope moment. Tarana A. Omari. And so, yeah, the video went viral back then. You know, it had over 200,000 views in the first couple of weeks. It was, you know, well on its way to a million. And then they got signed by Universal. They ended up taking the video down off of their page. I ended up putting it up on my page. And so it doesn't, you know, retain the views that it once had when, you know, it was on theirs. But it still is what it is. You know, it was a great moment, a great moment in the culture and, you know, definitely in my life. And, you know, just significant in the fact that it's going to be something that's going to be pointed to as I move forward in terms of like the movie that I've been writing. And that's another aspect of this that I didn't really kind of release. This is going to be part of the universe that that I'm building out, you know, for basically young LA, this film that I'm doing, that I've been working on, called Black American Genius. You know, still going to probably be a few years, you know, away from its creation and its, you know, finished product. But been working on the script for a while. And, you know, this video kind of marks the midway point of where, you know, a lot of the characters are in terms of the storyline of that. So, yeah, you know, if you've never seen the video, check it out. It's on YouTube. It's called Paper by Pac Div. And then, yeah, if you're interested in purchasing it, it's a 1-of-1 NFT. It comes with the high definition version of the video. So when you purchase the NFT, it comes with a downloadable link that has a file that, you know, you can put on your hard drive or do whatever you like with it, you know, put it up in the crib or whatever. So yeah, I feel like that's going to be the future also for just digital art and digital releases for artists, you know, the same way that Beyonce had her album and it was all her videos was coming with it, or 50 did that too, you know. I feel like a lot of artists are going to release videos as NFTs and sell them, or, you know, songs as NFTs with a video that people could download, the same way that people used to buy shit off iTunes. Now you're going to be able to buy it straight from the artist as an NFT for $5, $10, $100, $1,000, whatever they want to do. Yeah. So I kind of, you know, that's the other main reason was that when we did this video, we were kind of on the forefront in 2008 of being artists putting their videos on YouTube. And now I feel like I want to be on the forefront of taking my art and making it an NFT in a way that I feel like other people are going to follow. So yeah, release that. And yeah, I mean, whether it sells or not, I don't really care. I did it. It's up there. And it, you know, made me a little bit happier. So
yeah, that's most important, is that you did it. It's up there.
Yeah,
a lot of people will, you know, especially in this market, say they're gonna do something and then don't.
Exactly.
Never do.
Yeah,
never take the leap. And also, it's for me, it's super cool because that was one of my, it was like Pac Div, Dom, and Casey Veggies were like the first local LA rappers I started listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I first moved here.
Oh shit.
And yeah, in high school and shit. So I was, or like, yeah, right out of high school, like a really good, that's like the first like people, like first groups or artists that I really like, really I started liking. And that's before I met you guys.
Yeah,
that was super interesting too. So that's super cool, like having like on the show that day. It was like, even though I missed the videotaping thing, that was fucking
yeah.
Cool.
We definitely gonna put another episode together where we film very soon, you know. Even if, you know, Mike is deciding to retire from the podcast, you know, we're gonna have to work all that out.
Yeah, he'll have to be on the video at least.
I mean, we'll see. He might not want to do that either, and that's all good. You know, yeah. It'll be enough people. We have plenty of people to be on the podcast. You know, plenty of guests that want to show up as well. So, you know, we're going to keep rocking, man. Yeah, you got any other thoughts this week, man?
Go outside, touch grass. That was what I was thinking about before I came into the show. I was like, I got to make sure to remind everyone. It's nice. It's nice out there. And this shit never leaves. Literally, it trades all day long. It doesn't go to sleep. So that's something I have come to terms with. You know, I did a few months ago, but once you're down, you're like, okay. Like, you can have a couple thousand, you can have some couple hundred thousand dollars and be like, oh, I could still make some money right now. And you should just be outside. Literally, you should just be outside. Because, yeah, you know, next time when we're in that bull market, I'm going to need this reminder. I'll play this episode back.
Yeah. Touch grass.
Yeah. And, yeah, keep doing what you're doing. Because, like, I, you know, my Droidheads project didn't fucking launch off crazy or something, but still put it up there and still repping it. And one day something might happen, might go, but I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, man. It's important to get that experience to keep doing creative things to make yourself engaged and, you know, interested in the world and, you know, really wanting to make stuff that speaks to your soul and it makes you want to keep going every day. You know, we know it's hard out here for everybody who actually has real money in the market, you know, dealing with the bear market and, you know, your portfolios being down and all of that. You know, this is a good time to learn, good time to go touch grass, good time to come up with new concepts, good time to
hang out with your family,
and, you know,
learn a new skill, work out.
Yeah, all of the above, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, you know, focus on your health. Health is wealth. I know that from being down with this COVID right now. So hopefully next time we record, you know, I'll be 100%. And yeah, man, I'm grateful for everybody who's appeared on the podcast. I hope everybody's doing well out there in the world, in the universe, in the metaverse. And yeah, you know, buy Bitcoin. Don't take financial advice from anybody. that's on Twitter. And then
advice from anybody.
Yeah. And then you know, watch out for the snakes. And yeah, until next time, I'm Jason Madison. This is Chris Epps for Crypto Bros. We out of here.